Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm happy to introduce a new guest to all of you. This guest I have followed on Twitter for actually a number of years, and I just recently signed up for his site to get a little bit better of a feeling of what he is trying to do, trying to help investors out through his website. I am chatting with David Brady. He is the founder of Global Pro Traders. You can find Global Pro Traders online at globalprotraders.com. Also, I will post a link below this interview. And David, before we get into some of the markets that we will talk about, which include precious metals and the US dollar, I want to just outline what the Global Pro Trader website is all about. It's kind of like a Twitter type format where you and different members can share their ideas. And what I like about your service is that you are happy to listen to all sides, technicals, fundamentals, and a wide range of other factors that people might be thinking about or they think could drive the market. Can you give us a little, first of all, background on you and then a little more color on the Global Pro Traders website?
Well, I've been managing money for over 25 years now. Started as a dollar mark trader in Ireland, and since then I've managed FX risks and fixed income investments in the billions for major multinationals such as eBay and Salesforce.com. And I've covered almost every sector in my career: stocks, bonds, foreign exchange, commodities, precious metals, futures, you name it. And I just felt that there was a gap in the marketplace with regard to a site that provided expert advice, but not just solely based on either technical analysis, Elliott Wave theory, fundamentals, sentiment, positioning, intermarket analysis, etc. They all have that. We get a lot of debate between people over which one is superior to another and which one's better, basically. And for me, it's obvious that if they're all widely used, they all each have their own merits. So why not use a more holistic process whereby if you use all of them and all of them say the same thing or point in the same direction, you have a greater degree of confidence with the investments and trades that you're making. And that's what I do. And you know, I started that process before I began globalprotraders.com, but I felt that there was a gap in the marketplace, as I said, where you could actually discuss, each person could bring in their element, and yet they could see the other person's point of view from a fundamental or sentiment perspective, whereas they're talking about technical analysis or Elliott Wave theory. And that way you get the benefit of all of those tools, and some people are better at some than others. I'll admit, I'm a fairly amateur Elliott Wave theorist. Fibonacci is relatively easy, but you know, I rely on other people's expertise in that area. But you know, I'm pretty strong on the fundamental and macro view, technical analysis as well, and intermarket analysis. But it's the ability to be able to coordinate or use those various tools in combination with one another to optimize your trading and optimize your investing. So at the end of the day, you have more winners, you reduce your losses, and you maximize your profits. It's a democratic forum where all opinions are welcome based on whatever methodology you want to use with that end goal in mind.
Hey, David, it's all about listening, I think, to a number of different opinions, whether they come from the fundamental side or from the technical side. I think there's a lot to be learned from both sides of things, but I know what you mean. There are some people out there that only want to listen to one side of either the data or of the fundamentals, but quite frankly, in an open forum, that's something that I try to promote on our website as well, and that's why I appreciate what you do over at Global Pro Traders. Let's get into a couple of the markets that you follow, first being gold. One thing you and I were talking about off mic is you said, you know what, some people think that you're a gold bug, but you're not. However, you do follow that market very closely. Can you break down some of the main driving factors, even some of that inner market analysis for the gold sector?
Yeah, sure. We talked off mic about this. My first purchase of gold was in the second half of 2015. And it was based on the application of my FIPES process, fundamentals, intermarket analysis, positioning, Elliott Wave theory, and Fibonacci's. sentiment and technicals and trends. And they all pointed north for me back then. Nobody cared about gold. Nobody was bearish because nobody cared. And that was a huge signal to me that gold was about to take off. And now, fast forward to today, there are a number of very bullish signals right now. And let's talk big picture for a second. We can get into the short term. Big picture, you've got the central banks buying left, right, and center at the most since the 1970s, led by China and Russia, which have been doing so for 10 years. And in anticipation of the question as to why, I believe, and this is just my opinion, that they're doing so in expectation of a crash in the dollar and a global monetary reset to follow. The other fact is, in more short term, I've always expected that when the stock market got into trouble, that ultimately the Fed and the other global central banks, which have been winding down QE over the past 12 to 18 months, would return to QE. And why is that? Because they have no alternative. I mean, it, regardless of the fact that it doesn't, obviously doesn't work, Japan is on QE 24 right now. The European Central Bank has been spending money hand over fist, and there, Germany and the rest of Europe is falling back into recession. So it clearly doesn't work. But what else are they going to do? And now we have the politicians in the US talking about MMT, modern monetary theory, which they love using these terms, QE and modern monetary theory and other, and Federal Reserve instead of central bank. Modern monetary theory is helicopter money. Let's call it what it is. And it basically means that the Fed prints money to finance government spending. End of story. And the fact that politicians are talking about that means that it's more than likely that it's going to come to fruition in some form or another when the next presidential election cycle finishes. Especially if the Democrats gain control, but even Trump may consider it at that point. Well, that means you've got a slosh of paper money hitting the market. Why has the dollar gone up recently? Well, it's because the Fed has been engaged in a quantitative tightening program since October of 2017. Well, they've obviously made it clear that they're, at least verbally, that they're planning to scale back on that. And I think that will translate into actual reversal once the stock market crashes again. But the fact is that that tightening cycle, at the same time the rest of the world was easing, was why the dollar went north. Well, if the Fed reverses policy, that will probably hit the dollar hard. And then, you know, let's talk about the economy of the U.S. and the world economy. The economy is, we're getting a lot of propaganda, I would call it, out of the statistics. And but in reality, the economy is performing extremely poorly. If you just look at federal tax receipts, they're not manipulated in any way. And yet they've been in and out of recession, in and out of negative territory since 2015. Federal tax receipts don't fall in the absence of tax cuts unless the economy is slowing. Put a different way, they don't fall if the economy is growing. And you can just look up the Fed chart and that, and you can see it for yourself. Retail sales recently were the worst in 10 to 20 years, depending on which control group you look at in retail sales. Auto loan and credit card delinquencies are soaring. The housing market has been in reversal, arguably since January of 2018, when the housing stocks first started to plunge. And then you got the global trade war on top of that. If you look at some of the major recessions in the past, including the Great Depression, trade wars were typically a leading indicator of coming recession. The world economy isn't going to grow if people are trading less with one another. And then the latest statistic is the corporate earnings. Corporate earnings fell year over year in Q1. The announcements were in Q1, but the actual earnings for Q4. We were getting a lot of pom-poms and cheerleading with regard to corporate earnings, but actually, if you look at the data, they were actually down from the previous quarter. So why do I say all that? This is one of the reasons why you're going to see some pressure on the Fed to reverse policy. And when they reverse policy, I've said this in my, I'm a contributor to SproutMoney.com, and I've said this with respect to gold. My primary scenario for the bottom in gold is that the Fed reverses policy to QE, because that will probably lead, in all, and it's a very high likely scenario, I can't say anything definitively, but Yellen just confirmed it for me yesterday, that the dollar will tank when the Fed reverts to QE, because they're engaging in the same policies, easy monetary policies, as the rest of the world, as opposed to the tightening policies which supported the dollar over the period of 2018, following its 13% decline in 2017. And once they pull the rug from underneath the dollar, gold goes north.
Yeah, well, one thing to consider as well with that comment on the dollar is that you look at gold priced in other currencies, and it is already either approaching or exceeding some of those 2011 highs. So that is one factor that I think investors can look at, especially outside of the U.S., and say there is still some relative strength in the gold price, even though it hasn't broken out in terms of U.S. dollars. But you bring up a lot of the factors that I know that gold bugs, and even those starting to allocate some money into gold, are seeing some risk factors in the economy, some more central bank gold buying. But again, we're not seeing investors rush into the precious metal. Maybe that will happen when the Fed fully reverses course. Right now, they've done a 90 degree turn, not a 180. But in terms of the overall health of equity markets as well, do you think that it's going to be the falling equity markets, another almost collapse in equity markets, that truly makes the Fed reverse course and start a QE program?
Absolutely. I predicted back in February of 2018, with the help of a number of analysts in various fields, that declining global liquidity would lead to a crash in the fall, I called it, and most likely in October, with a fall in stocks of 20 to 30%. And that's exactly what we got. It was spot on from a timing perspective as well. But in Elliott wave terms, we're getting what we call an ABC correction, a wave four correction, and five ways up. And corrective waves are ABC. Well, the crash in October through December, of 20% or correction, some would say, was wave A down. Wave B rally since year end is what we're experiencing now. And next is wave C, the third and final leg of the crash. And that my target for that on the S&P is 21 to 2200. And that's when I anticipate the Fed will ride to the rescue again and do an actual 180 to QE and rate cuts. They could do it sooner, they could do it later, but that's my best guess. The timing, I thought it would take longer, but given the sharpness of the rally that we've experienced from year end to now, makes me believe that the next downturn could be equally as sharp. I had expected it to be a steady rise, but it's basically shot straight up to 2800, which makes me believe that when we do turn south, and it could be as soon as March next month, that it will be equally as sharp to the downside. And that is what will force the Fed to return to reverse policy. And one thing I wanted to add to my gold comment as well was such a reversal will probably cause a tank in the dollar, and that will spur gold and silver and miners to far higher levels. But I want to add another point that I made some comments on the economy. To the extent that QE is enacted and they start printing money en masse again, and then you've got the politicians following up with MMT or helicopter money on top of that, you'll get your inflation. I mean, it does little or nothing for the economy, or it hasn't, at least to this point, and I don't expect it will in the future. But you'll get inflation, but at the same time, a stagnant economy. So when you combine the two, you get stagflation. And a lot of analysts have compared this, including myself, to the 1970s period for gold, which, if as you may remember, gold rose 24 times between 1974 to 1980. 24 times in 6 years. And Silver went up 36 times, by the way. We're setting ourselves up for a similar scenario. So yes, in answer to your question, Corey, coming back to that, I do anticipate that there will be a third and final leg down here in stocks. That is what will trigger, and I've said this in the Sprott Money articles as well, that is what will trigger an actual Fed reversal in policy to QE-ing rate hikes. Up until now, all you've got is a verbal 180. And I've said, actually, beware hawks disguised as doves. I've said this repeatedly on Twitter. I said at the time when I saw that FOMC in January, this sounds like the Fed talking up the market to enable more rate hikes. And then when I see Mester's comments pretty much confirming that the other day, and then now Williams coming out and talking about doing even more balance sheet reduction than previously anticipated based on the FOMC comments, it just validates my thinking. Because Lee Adler put it well, people are missing the glaring contradiction with regard to the Fed's dovish speak, in that the more stocks go up, the less likely they are to reverse policy. In fact, the more likely they are to increase rates again and to reduce their balance sheet to provide ammunition for the crisis when it actually does hit. However, if we get a stock market crash, a third leg of this crash, that will be the excuse the Fed uses to reverse course to QE and rate hikes. And that is the primary reason why I believe we do have another leg down, because they can't just do it overnight and say, hey, you know what, woke up this morning, would like to, you know, reverse policy to QE. No, they need a trigger event, and another leg down in stocks would provide it. And one last thing, I posted a tweet today. You've got the trade talks going on between US and China, and there's some headlines coming out that are extremely negative. Everybody is expecting, oh, there'll be a deal and so forth, or a memorandum of understanding. Having worked in the corporate sector, MOUs are worthless. You can have an MOU by writing on a napkin in a restaurant and passing it across the table. They are worthless. But it's all for, you know, politics and headlines and getting the markets to go up. But if there is a meltdown in those trade talks, I believe the trade war is cover story for with the Fed tightening that's been going on since October of 2017. And that they can blame, the Fed never takes responsibility for anything negative, that they can blame the trade war for any downturn in stocks. Well, there's an event coming up in March where these talks are going to be resolved one way or the other. And what if the Fed is trying to push through another rate hike, and at the same time, you have a meltdown in the discussions between the US and China and potentially more tariffs, and stocks dump back down to 21,2200, and the finger can be pointed at the US and China and Trump in particular, instead of the Fed, who are orchestrating another rate hike. And apologies if this sounds like tinfoil thinking, but I found with the markets these days, nothing can be taken on face value, and you have to apply second level thinking to everything. I do believe the Fed wants to raise rates. Well, actually, I know based on Mester's comments, and they want to continue to reduce their balance sheet. So how do they do that? They pump stocks higher. In the event that they can't, they're not going to take the blame for the stock market falling. So what can they blame? The trade war. And I think people should be on the eye out for have an eye out for that. And if asked why would stocks fall, everything looks great. There's a reason. The Fed wants to hike rates, and the trade war is ongoing. And if the trade war, trade negotiations fall apart, that may be the excuse for markets to reverse.
Hey, David, some very good comments. You and I are along the same lines of thinking with how the Fed is talking these markets and what they really want to do to get ahead of the next major pullback or recession. But quite frankly, we'll see if they will be able to keep talking these markets higher. It's great having you on the show again, David Brady, founder of GlobalProTraders.com. Check out that website. I am going to be having David back on a more regular basis because I really like his website and his thoughts on the markets. If any of you, our listeners, want us to cover certain topics, please comment or email me at fleck@kereport.com. David, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me on.